Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have obviously some boys in my house that are of an age where they really, really enjoy superheroes. One in particular seems like he's always watching some kind of superhero movie. And you know, superheroes, their name is usually pretty descriptive of who they are, of the power that they carry, of where their identity is found, right? Think of Spider-Man. You know exactly what kind of powers he's going to have. He's going to have the powers of a spider. He can shoot webs and climb walls, all that kind of stuff. Think of somebody like Aquaman. Well, what is Aquaman related to? He's related to the water and to things like that. Or the Hulk. The Hulk is hulking. He's big. He's strong, right? Batman dresses like a bat and is in the dark and things like that. There's bad guys too, like Brainiac. You know instantly with a name like Brainiac, he's probably pretty smart. And so the names give a clue to what their identity is, what thing they might rely on, and what their power is. This is true also of Jesus whenever he tells parables and stories in Scripture. And we have a story here. He doesn't tell us it's a parable, but it has all the elements of being a parable. Now think of it. Parables, we have a parable called the parable of the prodigal son. And a main character in there is the prodigal son. And that's his identity. His identity is he's lost. We have a parable called the Good Samaritan. And what's the Samaritan's identity? Well, he's good and he's a Samaritan. That's what we need to know about him. Is in his name. They're almost like superhero names. In our parable this morning, we have two characters. The first we call simply the rich man. And throughout the parable, he's always referred to as the rich man. Think of it like his superhero, or maybe in this case, his supervillain name. It's his identity is caught up in exactly this. He's a man who lives in extreme extravagance. He dresses like he's wearing royal clothes all the time. And Jesus says in his story, this man feasts every day. The words that are used here is like, every day for this man, he's having like Thanksgiving supper or Christmas dinner or a wedding feast. He feasts like this every day. It's part of who he is. It's part of his identity. We also know about this man, though, that he completely ignores a poor, destitute, and dying man who is sitting at his very gates. He's caught up in himself, and he doesn't even care about this man who sits right outside his door as he goes about his feasting and his royalty and his extravagance. He doesn't pay attention to this man. And so in this story, as Christ tells it, both men die. And when the rich man dies, because of how he ignored this man and because of where his trust lies and where he places his faith, essentially, this man dies and he goes immediately to torment. Our passage here says he goes to hell. Other translations say he goes to Hades. Either way, he is in a fiery torment. And as he's in torment, he somehow has this ability to look up and gaze up into heaven. And he sees in heaven, he sees Father Abraham. And next to Father Abraham is the poor man who was outside his gates. And here Jesus continues to show us about this rich man and how he thinks about himself. And even as he is burning in Hades, he still views himself as one who should be served. And he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, the poor man, to come down and quench my thirst. You know, just have him at least dip his fingers in water and come down into hell and serve me. Imagine asking somebody to leave the confines of heaven to come serve you in hell. But this is how this man thinks of himself. And as the parable goes on further, Jesus shows us more about this rich man's character and where his faith lied. The rich man at least starts thinking about his brothers, and he tells Father Abraham, well, listen, send Lazarus to go and talk to my brothers so that they might hear from him and not be sent to this terrible place. And Abraham tells him, listen, your brothers have the words of Moses. Your brothers have the words of the prophets. In other words, your brothers have the word of God. Let them hear that. And here we get an idea of how the rich man views the word of God. It's not good enough for his brothers to hear. It's not going to do the job. So he asks Abraham again, send somebody back from the dead. If somebody rose from the dead, surely they would listen to that person. And Abraham says, if they're not going to listen to the word of God, they won't listen to somebody who is raised from the dead. The rich man obviously is a person who is so absorbed in what he has and what he can do and his wealth. He doesn't regard other people and he doesn't regard the word of God. He doesn't hear it. Throughout Luke and all the Gospels, there's an emphasis on hearing the word of God. And this word hearing is often connected to the word obey. And linguistically and in Greek, they're almost the same word, listening and obeying. And the way I like to describe it, I've described it to the adult Bible study this way several times, is to think of, well, let's imagine a totally hypothetical scenario. Imagine a 4-year-old boy. Let's say his birthday is even on February 23rd. And you imagine this little boy who sometimes is kind of willful, does things his own way, doesn't always listen to mom and dad. When mom and dad want this particular hypothetical young person to obey, what do moms and dad often do? You'll say, and you'll point to your ear, listen to what I'm telling you. Listen. You need to come across the street. Hey, listen, you need to stop punching your sister. Hey, listen, you need to put that wooden sword away and stop whacking people. Listen. And the idea is that as you listen to the words coming from mom and dad, you obey them. The two are connected. Jesus, in this parable, tells the rich man, if they would hear, if his brothers would hear the word of God and hear it with ears of faith, they would do what the word of God says and they wouldn't be in the same predicament as the rich man is. And what does the law of Moses, what do the prophets, what does the word of God always point us to? It points us to Jesus. And when it comes to hearing God's word and doing God's word, that always starts and ends with having faith in the one it points us to. And Jesus' summary of this story would essentially be, if you hear the word of God, you would believe in me and you would have life eternal. And that life eternal, that faith, would show itself in how you're going about your daily life. If you would have heard the word of God, rich man, if you would have believed in me, rich man, it would have showed itself in how you cared for Lazarus, who sat at your gates, poor and destitute. It would have showed itself in where your faith and trust was. You wouldn't be known as only the rich man. But the rich man gives no evidence of faith by how he lives. He is simply identified to us as the rich man. And our question today, that we all need to ask ourselves and ask ourselves every day, how would we be described? What would be our superhero or supervillain name? How would you be known? Would you be known as the rich man? Identified as the rich man, a person who finds his trust as the rich man? Or would you be a hard-working person? A person who is always working hard, and when they come to your funeral, that's the one thing people can say about you, and it's the only thing they say about you? Or are you independent guy? Or strong and independent woman? Are you famous dude? Popular pretty girl? Intelligent lady? Super dad? Super mom? And again, none of these things in of themselves are bad things. I want to be a super dad. I want to be rich dad too, frankly. But if that is the only thing I am, if that is only where my identity is, if that's the only thing somebody can say about me at my funeral, then I've missed the boat. And I'm exactly where the rich man in the story is too. One of the really cool things about this parable, it's the only parable in all the Gospels in which Jesus gives a proper name to a character in the parable. And he does so for a very good reason. If this parable was like all other parables, it would simply be the rich man and the poor man. But Jesus doesn't allow the poor man to only be known as the poor man. He calls him Lazarus. And the name Lazarus literally means one whom God helps. The identity of this man is he is one whom God helps. And as Jesus is telling this parable, he's telling it to a crowd of people. He's telling it to tax collectors and sinners, and he's telling it to Pharisees and scribes. And the tax collectors, the sinners among them, they know who they are, and they know that the only people they can really be is one whom God helps, because that's the only place they can put their faith and their trust and come out on the right side. The Pharisees are not. For those who hear the word of the Lord, this is your identity. You are Lazarus. You, through God's word, know you are poor, know you are destitute, know you are helpless and unable to help yourselves, but you know also that you are one whom the Lord helps. This is who you are. We can't see ourselves as the superheroes. We need to see ourselves as the person who needs saving. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, you are truly a wonder and truly gracious and truly super to us. We pray, O Lord, that we would not be prideful or haughty of our own abilities, our own works, our own gifts, but that we would always see ourselves as one who truly needs you and needs to rely on you. We pray for this humility, and we thank you for the salvation that you have given us through Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name.